greetings. Welcome to The Dividing Line. If things look just a little bit different, maybe sound just a little bit different, that's because they are. I am in studio. I have a new friend in studio. And I got this new friend. I'm supposed to do something there. He'll probably start doing it right in the middle of when I'm talking. But he worked just fine at home. Are you gonna, you're just not gonna perform when, what did I do? Turn it off? Yeah. There we go. Just had to wake him up. This is what I got for Christmas. Isn't that great? My family. Oh, now he's sleeping. He's snoring. That's lovely. Okay. Not sure how long that's gonna last. Anyway, that's what I got for Christmas. That's what I got for my family. All because I have a heart. I know some of you don't think I have a heart, but I have a heart. And like pretty much, yeah, thank you. Like pretty much every other human being that watched the end of the second season of Mandalorian, you know, that was touching. He thought it was. He agrees with me now. And so all I get for Christmas are Grogu's. I actually have a Grogu at home. It doesn't move around as much as that one does, but I have a Grogu at home. That was him using the Force on something, just in case you're wondering. He will stop, I think. You never know. That's what you get. Once you get to my age, if you don't get yourself stuff for Christmas, you'll get stuff. You either get shirts, and socks. And stuff like that. You'll never get what you actually want. But anyways, so yeah, there's my new friend in the background is Grogu. And don't be writing in. No spoilers. Look, if you haven't caught up yet, sorry. What can I say? You need to at least get into the second season by now. It's you know, there you go. Anyways, so what's going on here is I am, other than Grogu, alone in the studio. There's no green screen. It's not a green screen. That's the only reason I was doing that. You can't do that with a green screen. I mean, I know in our green screen, we do have the warp core going, which is pretty cool. But still, I can't reach back and do stuff on a green screen. So I'm actually in the studio right now, but there's no Rich Cam because there's no Rich. No, Rich is still under the weather. Prayers appreciated for he and his wife. And so we worked out a way to get around it. I mean, it's okay doing green screen stuff, but it's, I don't know, it feels weird having that thing right behind you and you're not where you're supposed to be and stuff. So here we are. Hopefully it's clear and understandable. I'm not sure if it's coming through well. We were having some of the max headroom issues before we got started. Internet that way. We'll do what we can. But there's just so much stuff going on. I could not put off commenting and hopefully being of encouragement. Everyone's talking about their Bible reading plans right now. And just very briefly, what I want to try to do this year. And I don't know what this year is going to look like. No one knows what this year is going to look like. We have no idea what kind of challenges. It is unsettling for those of us who have lived our lives being able to make long-term plans, to be in a situation where there's no way to be making long-term plans. There really, really isn't. We don't know what's going to happen next week. We don't know what's going to happen in Georgia today. We don't know what's going to happen in Washington tomorrow. I can predict some of these things, but making long-term plans and decisions extremely, extremely difficult right now. Really, really is. And so we don't know what's down the road. But as best we can, my decision, everybody was posting their favorite Bible reading things, you know, got McShane's and all that kind of stuff. And if I recall correctly, back in 1978-ish, somewhere around there, I think, was when I did my first through the Bible reading type thing. Using that one right there. I started with that one, finished with that one over there. It's an Open Bible NASB. That's my New Schofield from Oxford. It's still one of the best Bibles we've got. Anyway, using those. And it wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't, some of them get really complicated. You have to have the guide to be able to figure out what you're supposed to be reading that day. It was just a certain number of chapters in the New Testament and Old Testament, and you just got through it. Anyway, what I'm doing this year is, what I want to do is I want to read through the non-Pauline corpus in the Greek New Testament. And probably the Lucan materials and the non-Pauline materials. And maybe if I have time in there, throw in Mark. That would leave out Matthew and John. But it's only about 10 verses a day. As I worked out, if I threw Mark in, it's about 12. But some of you may have seen on Twitter, it was enjoyable too, when I have time to do it. Reading through, starting with Revelation, starting at the end. It's not really the end, but, it was sort of enjoyable to be posting commentary, things like that. There's just, it's good to start your day there rather than on Facebook. Okay, rather than on Twitter, rather than on, the immediate incessant hammering of the world, basically. Starts the day off a whole lot better. And I only got to do the church at Ephesus this morning. I'll do some more later on today. But starting the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2, that's deep, deep, deep stuff. I mean, I commented this morning that the church at Ephesus, talk about a foundation. How would you like to be founded by an apostle who spends 3 years, longer than any place else in his apostleship? Well, at least while he was traveling. I'm not sure how long exactly. We don't know all the exact dates. Antioch and things. But he spends 3 years in his missions work in your church and founding and training your elders. Man, that was a church with some serious theological credibility. And, of course, there's an entire letter that is sent to that church. I think it was a circular letter meant to be distributed around the churches in Lycansburg Valley, but named Ephesians, and it's deep. Ephesians chapter 1. Just think about it. Ephesians chapter 2. It's a deep letter. So it's not surprising when we read the message to the church at Ephesus. They've been steadfast. They've been discerning. They have been, they've had perseverance. And they hate the things that Jesus hates, the deeds and the teachings of the Nicolaitans. So there was a real good foundation laid. And you can't miss any of that. But then you find the one thing that Jesus says, this one thing I have against you, you've left your first love. And it's just sort of like dagger through the heart. Dagger through the heart. Because as I look at the churches, that's sort of, that looks like the Reformed Church. That looks like the folks that are properly taught by an apostle to be focused upon doctrine and theology, and they're discerning and all the rest of that stuff. And yet, you've lost your first love. There is a, history is filled. History, church history is filled with movements that start off with all the right reasons. And over time, there is a cooling and a compromise and just so glad that that is there in at the beginning of Revelation chapter 2. Oh, by the way, I'm wearing my Theology Matters hoodie today. The National Weather Service in Phoenix was unkind enough to remind all of us in Phoenix that the average temperature is already rising. They even provided a graph showing you the rise right up to our high average temperature of 107, which will be here before long. And I can assure you that wearing my Theology Matters hoodie at that time would be suicidal. So we still have a few more weeks where you can you only sweat a little bit while wearing something like this or one of my Fuji sweaters or anything like that. But yeah, so I finally got mine. Seeing everybody else has one, and so I finally got mine. Anyhow, so if you follow us on Twitter, you might be seeing some commentary, especially in the mornings, as we read through some of the New Testament in the original languages and make commentary and do stuff like that. I hope you find that to be useful. Anyway, there's more to address than time to address it, but I have to start off. This one, I'll be honest with you, I have to be extremely careful as to what I say and how I say it. We have to run a lot of filters these days if we want to remain on widely accessible, easily usable sources of social media. But a few days ago, I saw a tweet, and I followed the links, and I read the documents, to a movement in California. That pretty much says it from the start, doesn't it? A movement in California to change insurance language. I have to be careful how I even say this. This is what is coming. Did you see? I'm not even going to show this one either. And those of you who, for probably wise reasons, or for mental health reasons, spiritual health reasons, do not spend much time on social media, sometimes watching this program might be, or listening to this program might be somewhat disturbing to you. But since we were last on the air, I started seeing a meme being put out that was requesting that when using the restroom, that cisgender men use the stalls and sit down to make transgender men feel more welcome. Because, obviously, a quote-unquote transgender man, which is actually a woman, cannot use a urinal. And so you are welcoming people by adopting their bodily function limitations. Because they want to pretend they're one of you. They aren't one of you, so they can't do what you do. But you'll make them feel better if you pretend that you can't do what you actually can do. And you just need to understand that, you know, this is being put out there. This is how you're loving. I'm surprised we haven't seen some on TGC saying, this is loving your brother. No, it's not. Never will be. But right now, this is, just look over the past few years. This is the suggestion. This is the how you be nice. Do you think it's going to stay there? Do you think that it's going to stop there? It won't. It won't. Could we seriously see urinals taken out of men's bathrooms? Just think of the insanity we're seeing right now. You want more insanity? Evil insanity. California changing, applying the insanity of the transgender revolution, transgenderism, disconnected from reality, disconnected from science, disconnected from obviously anything even semi-related to the Christian worldview. Remember that the man who in all likelihood will be sworn in as president in 2 weeks said in 2019 that the great human rights issue of our day is transgender rights. Okay? That should have been enough for any thinking Christian to run screaming into the woods away from this man and his worldview. It was not. It was not. Sadly. But that's what he said. And that needs to be identified for what it is. It is ethically and morally insane and evil. It's not just, well, you know, this is how they think about things. No. No. The transgender revolution is destructive of human life. It destroys human beings. Transgender people have a astronomical level of suicide, astronomical level of disease and physical failure because you are destroying the human body. Female bodies were not to be injected with testosterone. Male bodies were not to be injected with estrogen. This causes tremendous damage. It is evil, morally, ethically, religiously, scientifically, evil. And in California, it is the new good. It is the new object of worship. And so what they're doing in California is they are going to, so as to force insurance companies to cover transgender surgeries. Now, already, leftist states in the United States are paying, and this, you hear about the man, I think it was Michigan, who raped his daughter, is serving decades in prison, claims to be transgender, and now the state is going to pay for surgery. They've already been paying for injections, paying for surgery, and once the surgery is performed, will transfer him to the female prison. He raped his daughter as a child, repeatedly. Of course, in a just society, the man would have been executed a long time ago. You wouldn't be giving him 3 square meals and then any type of medical treatment that he decides to take. It's not even medical treatment. But you get that. So this is the world. This is what we're facing. This is the insanity that we're facing. And so California is going to tell insurance companies that they have to pay for double mastectomies for young girls, underage young girls. Why? Because if they decide they're males, then their breasts are signs of disease. It's like Satan set up his throne in Sacramento. It really is. I mean, the very idea of someone thinking in that way makes you wonder if the very gates of hell haven't opened and every demon is just heading into the leadership positions of state legislatures and governors and everything else. It just, who even thinks of something like that? And yet that's what we're facing. And by the way, If you go, well, that's California. Hey, if your insurance rates are impacted by that. What you have to pay to just make sure that your kids can get medicines when they need medicines is impacted by these evil men and women who are forcing insurance companies to pay for this kind of moral and ethical catastrophe, moral and ethical evil. To identify a 14-year-old's naturally developed breast as disease, to be removed from her body, and then injected with testosterone, so she'll never be able to have children. She will be altered for life before she can drive a car. Life expectancy? Oh, please. Future possibilities of suicide, cancer, heart disease? They don't care. That's just it. They don't care. Remember all the ads about smoking? Some of you are too young to remember all that, but when I was a kid, oh man, when that started hitting big time, you know, probably 1980s, here comes all the anti-smoking stuff. And man, they were down on it. It's all over the place. Now look at the same people. Injecting girls with testosterone. Which has immediate impact, by the way. Immediate impact. Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage, if you haven't read it yet, you need to. California leading the way in the worship of insanity and evil. I don't even know what to say. I tell you one thing. People like that come after my granddaughters, and that's where you go. That's where you start shooting. Okay, that's where you start. That's not a line of sand. That's where you just no, ain't happening. That's where it all comes down. That's a level of evil. If you will not protect your family from that level of evil, they're not your family. Anyway, so like I said, I had to be really careful because that one just makes me so angry that I don't know what to say. Speaking of more of the utter it's like the hand has just been taken off. It's like, okay, here you go. You guys go for it, because, so the folks who caught Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, remember? A judge, use air quotes there, because there's an actual meaning to the term judge, that's why you call somebody your honor, is because that individual is supposed to be doing something. There's very few of them that do that anymore. But a federal judge has ordered the people who did this extremely important work in catching Planned Parenthood in the ghoulish sales of baby parts to come up with $13 million in legal fees. $13 million in legal fees. In any sane, just culture, Planned Parenthood would have been shut down, its leaders put in prison a long time ago. In our culture, you hit the people who expose the evil with a $13 million fund. They have to give $13 million to Planned Parenthood. That's where we live today. In Massachusetts wanted to keep up on the evil scale with California, New York. And so the Massachusetts legislature overrode the governor's veto on an abortion bill that keeps them right up there in the leadership of, you know, no restrictions whatsoever on abortion. So you've got the Massachusetts legislature. But hey, you've got the entire legislature, the House of Representatives of the United States government. I know, we'll talk about it in a second. We'll talk about the opening prayer. But the opening prayer fit, didn't it? It fit in a House of Representatives where the Democrats, the leftists, the communists, the socialists, whatever you want to call them, have proposed House rules eliminating gendered terms in the business of the House, which includes the creation of legislation. Including terms like father and daughter. So fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, and in-laws would be changed to parent, child, sibling, spouse, or parent-in-law. Like extended family members are referred to as a child's parent instead of aunt or uncle, step-parents, and siblings-in-law. Seamen become seafarers, chairman to chair, submit his or her resignation to resigns. I told you this is a attack upon language, and of course it is. And we saw that then. In the opening prayer of the 117th Congress. And you've seen it so many times, I'm not going to replay it. But a Democratic representative from Missouri, who is a United Methodist minister in Missouri, gave the opening prayer. Now, I am thankful that historically, our nation gave, made acknowledgement of the need of God's blessing when the Constitution says shall not establish, you know, establishment clause. That was because all but just a few of the states already had established Christian denominations in their states, and the federal government was being limited from being able to do anything like that, but they did not say it. The states could not do it. So there was a open acknowledgement of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Scripture. Early court cases in the Supreme Court would frequently quote from Scripture. And here we are today. And at some point along the line, I started getting rather uncomfortable with politicized prayer. Because I believe prayer is worship. I think there are sometimes in the church when we pray when we really shouldn't. If you're going to pray and it's going to be 10 seconds and it's just a formality, is that really worship? But especially when we start talking about the politicization of prayer, that's concerned me for a long time. And so here you have a man standing in front of the House of Representatives. And he's wearing a mask. So even the poor C-SPAN, C-SPAN, which has to broadcast all this stuff, they have a computer that's doing an automatic transcript type thing. You know, the subtitle stuff. And creates a transcript too. Well, now it's a mess. Because it was never designed to try to interpret somebody wearing a mask. But that's what you've got in this insane day. And so here's this fellow, and he starts his prayer. And he gets to the end, and you've seen it. He prays in the name of the monotheistic God and of Brahman, the Hindu God. So he figures he's got the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims with the monotheistic God. You throw Brahman in, you get the Hindus. And then you just sort of, and by all the other names that we are now, that he is known, it is known, I don't know, probably didn't even use a pronoun. And then he gets to the end and says, Amen and Ah Woman, and walks away from the mic. And there have been really lots of cool memes that have appeared over the past couple of days. Because all of us who, you know, went to Bible college, maybe went to seminary, maybe taught a few years, decades, we're sitting there going, that doesn't work. There's nothing about men in Amen. I mean, you know, Jesus says, Amen, Amen, lego soy. Truly, truly, I say to you. And that's a transliteration. So our Amen is a transliteration of the Greek Amen, which is technically a transliteration of the Hebrew Amen. And it is so. It is a solemn oath. Let it be, or it is so. It is true. That's what Amen is. That's why you say it at the end of a prayer. And so, to think that you can change it from Amen to a woman really makes everyone go, you probably don't know where that came from, huh? Or, do you really think that modern man has the right to change words that were irrelevant to your current motivations, your current crusade, you know, greatest human rights struggle ever, transgenderism. So we all saw it. Most people were chuckling at the Ah Woman thing. So it's been, you know, we had the Mandalorian, now we're going to have the Ah Woman DeLorean. And all the rest of the absurdity flows, because it was an absurd thing to do. It was just absurd on its face. It was more absurd and far more offensive for a man who claims to be a Christian minister. First, United Methodist, sorry, why United Methodist went Union Theological Seminary a long time ago. But to pray in the, ostensibly in the name of the Christian God, and then just, and there's no difference between that and praying in the name of Allah or Brahman, whatever, you know. That was where the real offense was. That was where the real blasphemy was. And he will be held accountable for this. No question about it. Somebody needs to tell him that, as unpopular as that would be. Today. So speaking of Union Theological Seminary, I hope everyone is aware of the fact that for over a year, more than that, I've been calling Union Theological Seminary the Walker Seminary, because Union is the seminary that went apostate back in the late 1800s. But like the walkers, it just keeps walking around, dropping body parts around. And one of the graduates of said Walker Seminary is one of the socialist communists running for the Senate in the state of Georgia right now. And Raphael Warnock is a graduate of the Walker Seminary. That should tell you everything that you need to know. And it does make me really sad, I'll be honest, to recognize that yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday, I started seeing the videos of Lecrae appearing at a rally, if you can call that a rally. I mean, when I met Lecrae, I think in 2009, I think we had more people in the restaurant when I gave the presentation on the reliability of the text of the New Testament to he and the guys than showed up at that rally. Really, really do. I think there were more people there. I think between the servers and the checkout lady, we probably had more people than they had there. But it's just so sad to compare that one encounter that we had in 2009 with what I saw on online with him promoting candidates whose worldview is so perverse on a foundational level. These are candidates who have clearly stated that they will establish the Equality Act, which is not only the end of religious liberty in the United States, it is spitting in God's face. It is an open, knowing act of rebellion against the Judeo-Christian way of life. And Lecrae wants you to vote for that. It's only 11 years ago. And I don't remember exactly how it happened. But 11 years ago, someone told me that Lecrae was in... Oh, I remember. Someone sent me a link to Twitter. I had not gotten on Twitter yet. It's fairly new back then. And you could still watch stuff, I think. Somehow, I saw a tweet, I think, from Lecrae talking about driving to Phoenix in their bus, and it was a picture of a television. You know how in buses you'll have the television thing up there you can watch? And they're watching one of my debates. They're playing a DVD. Remember those things? Playing a DVD of one of my debates. I forget which debate it was. And that's what they were watching on the bus as they were traveling. And so that's why I signed up for Twitter. That day, I'm like, well, the only way I can think to contact him is I sign up for Twitter. And so I signed up for Twitter, and I sent a message, tracked down that tweet or something like that, sent a message. Got an answer back, hey, we're out at such and such, we're going to such and such place. And I said, what's your schedule? And we worked out. I grabbed my computer and a digital projector and it's out on the west side of the valley, as I recall, and went out there and met them at their hotel, and we talked to the management, and they sort of let us take over the little, I'm not sure if it was like a breakfast thing, restaurant, or it was a full restaurant, I don't really remember. But we all got together, and I projected up on a wall or something, as I recall, and did New Testament reliability and where we got the New Testament and, you know, all that stuff. I've done that presentation for decades now. And then we just sat around and talked, and I remember very, very clearly Lecrae saying, you know, we try to talk to as many people as we can after concerts, and we want to answer their questions, we want to direct them to Christ, and we get a lot of questions from people who, for example, have backgrounds in Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff like that, and, you know, some of the tough areas have to do with, like, hypostatic union. How is Jesus the God-man? How can we better express how the divine and the human in Christ are related to one another? And if you're, you know, so in other words, Apollinarianism, Eutychianism, Nestorianism, the various errors that the church has dealt with over the years. And we covered all of that. And it was a great time. I was going to pull the picture up. Actually, I think I can actually pull that picture up now that I think about it. Yeah, there it is right there. I wonder if I can, hold on a second. I might. This is all experimental here, kids. So give me a second here. Share screen and messages, iPhone. It doesn't show that one. Normally it shows a I feel look terrible. Yeah, it's not letting me do it. I think that if I recall correctly, I just realized. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. Yeah, I can't do it yet. I'd have to shut this down. I had to do it at home too. I have to go into settings and tell settings to allow Zoom to do what Zoom is going to do here. But I've got a picture of all of us in the restaurant back in 2009, and it was great. And it's just so sad to me to see McCray promoting and telling people to, oh yeah, see there's open, nah, even if I do open system preferences, no, I cannot do this. It will, this is how to destroy your live stream in two easy lessons. No. We'll do it next time. We'll get it fixed up next time. It's just so sad to see, what has happened in only 11 years. Been so fast. So fast. And I was talking with somebody else about that, and McCray had been important to them back then. And then they saw, starting with Ferguson, they started seeing this change, and he said the same thing. But yeah, a lot of people were talking about that. Just over the past couple of days, because I guess he tweeted about people quote unquote hating him and things like that. It's not hate. It's tremendous disappointment. It is tremendous disappointment. Really is. I'm purposely, by the way, avoiding, switching into a Radio Free Geneva to do further responses to Seth Dillon, who once again is doing his, I will criticize Calvinism based upon certain presuppositions, but if you dare push back and say you take a stand on the same issues, I won't do that. So he won't tell us how God has infallible knowledge. He actually started saying, well, I'm sort of leaning toward Molinism and middle knowledge, but the Molinists tend to say God's controlling too much stuff. So in other words, they always want to just have this, well, sort of this, maybe that, I don't know. But then when they turn around, you Calvinists, you're all wrong about this. We're absolutely firm about that, but we're not really firm about what we believe about. It is, the inconsistency is just starting. So I'm trying to avoid diving into that because there's still other things to get to here, in our time. I wanted to, okay, so we have the House of Representatives. Finish this up. Seriously, I mean, again, we need to recognize something. There is so much of this insanity going on that eventually our insanity meter breaks. You know, most of you young folks haven't seen this, but back in my day, we'd have these VU meters. Now it's all digital. But if there is an actual physical thing that would go back and forth depending on, you know, where low volume, high volume, and there was a little peg over the side to stop it. Well, so pegging it was, you know, all the way over there, and then sometimes you just bing, 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 and it would break. You'd literally break the thing. That's what's happening to us with the moral insanity of the revolution. And eventually, it just breaks. It stops registering anything. And you become numb to it. If someone had told us only 20 years ago, and folks, I'm sorry, 20 years is a blink of an eye. The older you get, the more you realize 20 years is a blink of an eye. If someone had told us 20 years ago that if we kept going down the road that we were going, that you would literally have the Democrats saying, we will not use father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, seaman, seafarer, and some guy going, amen and ah, woman, we would have laughed 20 years ago. That's not possible. No one is that insane. It could never get that bad. And here we are. And so the problem is that we need to recognize that what is going on is purposeful, knowing, designed rebellion against the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. This is not neutral. There is no neutrality. If these people are made in the image of God, there is no neutrality. And so this is purposeful, knowing rebellion against God. It needs to be repented of. It will bring the judgment of God. But there, how many Christians today have a sufficiently robust Christian worldview informed by Scripture that you can even for a moment think about, I wonder if what's going on in our country is the judgment of God. I wonder if there's anything in Scripture where, God judged people with floods and with fire and with plague and with drought and with famine. Oh, but that's not a... God just did that back then. That's just the Old Testament stuff. He doesn't know it. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. We need to understand and communicate, first of all, to our children, to our families, our children, our church. Start local. That what we're seeing Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, these people doing is sinful and will bring the judgment of God, and they need to be called to repentance. That will make you extremely unpopular. Extremely unpopular. But there it is. So the House needs to repent of its denial of fathers and mothers. The Massachusetts legislature needs to repent of its promotion of the murder of unborn children. By the way, on January 22nd, there will be a rally at the state capitol here in Arizona. We invite everyone who can come to be there. There will be the introduction of legislation to abolish human abortion in the state of Arizona. There will be a press conference and a rally afterwards. And we need to continue to go against the flow. Because you would think it's 2021. Biden's going to be president. He's Planned Parenthood owns his soul, if he even knows what Planned Parenthood is. And once he steps aside, Kamala Harris, everybody knows, is the embodiment. That woman is the embodiment of the spirit of Moloch. It's really it. Just look at her history. Just look at her history. She's the embodiment of who went after the folks that exposed Planned Parenthood first. Who was the Attorney General of the state of California that went after them, that busted into the leader's home at night to take computers? Kamala Harris, before she became a senator. Owned by Planned Parenthood. Owned by Planned Parenthood. And yet, there were people in Big Eva saying, it's okay. It's all right. Because mean tweets and the worldview of Moloch, they're the same thing. By the way, just in passing, the New York State Assembly, Bill A-416, will probably get passed and will give to the New York State legal authority simply upon the state's feelings to go arrest anyone and stick them in quarantine. Your neighbor sees you gardening without your mask on, you're out of there. Nothing you can do about it. It's 1984. It's coming from the left. Nothing new about that. New York State Assembly Bill A-416. Look it up. I love this. I need to point out who gave it to me. I was on my way to church Sunday night. I will be preaching again Sunday, Lord willing. I'll be preaching the third in the series on baptism at Apologia Church. So we do live stream that. It's supposed to start 4:30 our time. I noticed that since only Jeff and I were there on Sunday, we were a little bit late on that. But anyway, I just want to read this to you. Tom Buck sent this to me. So blame Tom Buck. We blame Tom Buck. Tom Buck is one of the most blamable people that I personally know. I mean, there's just something about him that you just feel like you can get away with blaming him for anything. And there's basically no negative repercussions because, well, it's Tom's fault. And people go, oh, yeah, probably. He sent this to me as on the way to church. Retailers who cash in on community fears about a virus by exaggerating the health benefits of surgical masks could face fines of up to $110,000. NSW Fair Trading Minister Reva Mager yesterday warned that distributors and traders could be prosecuted if it was suggested the mask offered unrealistic levels of protection from the disease. I'm sure everyone would agree that it is un-Australian to profiteer from people's fears and anxieties, Ms. Mager said. There appears to be some debate about whether surgical masks are able to minimize the effects of this virus. Ms. Mager said her department would investigate any complaints about false mask claims which concern the public. Penalties can range from fines of up to $22,000 for an individual or $110,000 for a corporation, she said. Health authorities have warned that surgical masks may not be an effective protection against the virus. Those masks are only effective so long as they are dry, said Professor Yvonne Cossart of the Department of Infectious Disease at the University of Sydney. As soon as they become saturated with the moisture in your breath, they stop doing their job and pass on the droplets. Professor Cossart said that could take as little as 15 or 20 minutes, after which the mask would need to be changed. But those warnings haven't stopped people snapping up the masks, with retailers reporting they're having trouble keeping up with demand. John Bell from the Pharmaceutical Society of Australia, who owns a pharmacy in Wollafra, Sydney, said mask supplies are running low. At the moment, we don't have any because we haven't been able to get any in the last few days, Mr. Bell said. In those stages, it was unbelievable. We'd get people coming in all the time. Mr. Bell agreed with Professor Cossard's assessment regarding the effectiveness of the masks. I think they're of marginal benefit, he said. In a way, they give some comfort to people who think they're doing as much as they can to prevent the infection. That seems to be the mentality of travelers to Asian destinations who are buying and wearing the masks while overseas. Rosemary Taylor of Curability arrived in Sydney from Shanghai last week after a two-week holiday in China. Ms. Taylor and traveling companion Joan Switzer had worn the mask during the trip home, even though they had been warned they were of little value. We are told you need 16 layers on your mask for it to offer 95% protection, Ms. Taylor said. You know where that's from? That was from back when sanity still lived on planet Earth in the southern hemisphere of Australia. That's when SARS hit Australia in 2003. 17 years ago. 17 years ago, the Australian government threatened to fine people for lying to them about the effectiveness of masks. Today, we have videos of Australian stormtroopers tackling mothers in parks and forcibly masking them. 17 years. 17 years. Oh, well, all the science has changed. Just the opposite. We have more studies now demonstrating that what they said back then is true than they had back then. But remember, the president-elect has told us it's about all he knows how to tweet. Mask up, folks. Mask up. I don't know. It sort of tells me that when someone is about to become the president of the United States and all they can talk about is masking up, he's probably going to make that a mandate. What do you think? You think maybe? Yeah. I think that's what's coming. That's what's coming. So, anyway, there you go. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. There's another article I want to look at eventually from a guy named Caleb. It's either Shumate or Shumate, where it's basically his opinion. God is not in control. And, of course, there's a bunch of stuff going on, like I said, with Seth Dillon and some stuff with good old Leighton Flowers. We might have enough to really do a Radio Free Geneva, though I'm not sure. I think we might be able to work out doing a Radio Free Geneva, even remotely like this. It'd be a little weird. I mean, what's weird is I'm sitting here and the door's open to the studio. That never happens. And I'm looking at Rich's chair. And Rich, you're missed. But I'm glad you're not there. The Rich Cam's looking sort of lonely. It really is. It's just staring at an empty room. And I could leave the lights on in that room too because it wouldn't make any difference because there's nobody. So, there you go. I hope this worked out fairly well. We got a number of things covered. It is, of course, a big day tomorrow. Well, my prediction, I posted it on Twitter. So, my prediction is that tomorrow Congress meets, I think it's supposed to be at 1 o'clock Eastern time, 11 o'clock our time. Ted Cruz and others are going to object to the seating, to the acceptance of the electors based upon the fraud that so obviously took place. I don't think there's any question about that, whether there's anything that can be done about it. I just think our system is dependent upon having the majority of the people in it wanting to continue. And since the left wants to destroy it, and they are such a large part of the population, I don't know what can be done. I'll just be honest. Our system is based upon having a religious and moral people, a certain worldview. We've abandoned all that. That's what gave us liberty and freedom. That which gave us liberty and freedom has now been rejected. So, obviously, the leftists don't want liberty and freedom, and we all suffer as a result. But I think what's going to happen is when objections are received in that way, then the two chambers go separately and they debate. And given, I guess, more of the insanity about the COVID stuff, they can't actually all be in the same room at the same time. Or they can only have a certain number of people in there. Some social distancing, something or other is going on. I don't know. But it's supposed to only last for like 2 hours, but they may go longer because they have to rotate people in and out and stuff like that. But they eventually have to take a vote. And it requires a majority to overturn those particular electors due to irregularities. My prediction is there will not be a majority in either chamber. Therefore, the results will be accepted. Joe Biden will be inaugurated. And I would say, personally, just my guess, I'm just a guy out here, that called the election fraud back in May 12th. I think for appearance's sake, they're going to try to prop Joe up as long as they can. I think he's degrading quickly. People degrade at different speeds, unfortunately. As long as they can keep him standing up, I think they'll protect him as much as they possibly can, at least to the summer. Because if he steps down before the summer, then it's so obvious that they knew from the start this is what was going to happen anyways, that it's sort of like, yeah, we don't care what you all think. I think I want to try to avoid that. So I'd say between the summer of 2021 and the summer of 2022 at the latest, he will step aside and the spirit of Moloch will rule from the White House. It's an amazing thing to have to say. But that's my thinking. I would like to hope that a small press of the brake pedal would take place today in Georgia, but I don't have a lot of hope of that. I am one of those, and I hope not because I'm in an echo chamber, but because I've read widely enough to see the problems and the arguments from the other side. I am one of those who will never again trust an American election. Not as it's currently being done. Just won't. Can't. Sad to have to say that. So what's going on in Georgia? You know, I've got a friend that there's 8,000 poll watchers. It doesn't matter. As long as it's aggregated in a computer someplace, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll have more to talk about next time we get together. That's all dependent on lots of things. We'll let you know on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that when we'll be doing the program again. Hopefully it's been fairly clear and worked fairly well. I haven't gotten any messages. Hear that or Rich fell asleep. One, two. I'm not sure which one it is. But I appreciate your taking the time to listen in. And next, we're going to try to figure out, see if we can figure out how to do a Radio Free Geneva. I think it could probably be done. We'll figure out how to do it. And might help take your mind off of whatever takes place over the next couple of days. We'll see. But we pray for repentance in our nation. We pray for the restraint of evil. But we also pray to be faithful in the midst of judgment. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for watching.